Live in a culture today, in a society where when you talk about things like peace and love, it's not always the most popular thing to be talking about. Oh, it is if it benefits the person that's hearing it, but to talk about selfless love, the love that Jesus showed, that's a very different thing. It's a very short commodity in our world today. Let me finish the rest of the story that Luke writes. He says, and when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want to share with you just a quick thought, and then we're going to finish up our time here together tonight. You know, Christmas is a tough time for pastors. You got to be honest. You know, it's kind of hard to come up here and to say something that has not been heard 5,000 times every time you've been to church. I mean, there's only so many things that are taking place. Is that not true? So it's a challenge for us. I know a couple of years ago I talked about Joseph, and I called him the unsung hero of Christmas. And he was the unsung hero because Joseph, if you remember what happened with him, he was required to have faith and believe something that made absolutely no sense. Remember what happened? He's engaged to get married to his fiancée. And she says, Joe, come here. We got to talk. It's not the big deal. It's nothing real major, but I just think you should know. I'm pregnant. Now, you got to know something in that culture. For a woman to have a child out of wedlock was not a good thing for her. She would probably be ostracized by her family. She would, by all means, be probably driven out of her homeland in many times and in many ways, especially if she was abandoned by the man that she was going to be married to. Joseph was asked of God to have faith that what Mary was saying was true, that it wasn't of man, it wasn't a sin that had taken place, it was something that God was doing supernaturally. Joseph was a hero of Christmas. We don't talk about him that much. But there's another group as well that I think we overlook at times because of what it is that God called them to do, and that's the shepherds that were tending their flocks. I'm calling them tonight the unlikely messengers. Because I got to tell you what, I got to think that if the Son of God is being born, wouldn't God go to the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the kings, the queens, all of the major people of the world and make this announcement? I would. Son of God? I mean, I got to figure, if Diana and Charles, when William and Henry and Harry were born, they probably, if they made announcements, they were telling the kings and the heads of state. I got to think that. When George and Charlotte were born to Catherine, is it embarrassing to anybody else that I know these names? Does that bother anybody else? It just kind of occurred to me. Good grief. Come on, guys. Help me out here. But I got to think, if you're royalty and you're announcing what it is that's going on, that's a big deal. But you know, God didn't do that. God went to some of the lowest people of the culture of the day. He went to the shepherds. Now, a shepherd in biblical times was walking and living on the outskirts of town. That wasn't somebody that was a part of normal society. Why? Because they had to follow the sheep. And I don't know if any of you have ever been around sheep before or not. I'm a city boy. So the closest I come to sheep are wearing like a wool sweater. That's about as near as I get to the animal. But what I understand is that sheep don't smell real good. And you're outside. It's the summertime. It's blazing hot. And these guys have to follow the sheep. They're working out. It's dirty. It's smelly. All of these kinds of things. Shepherds didn't get to live in the city by and large. And because of what it is that they did, they were on the low rung of the ladder. Certainly nobody that you would announce the birth of a king to. But I want you to consider something here. And look at what God was doing. You may be thinking, look, Pastor Dave, I don't understand what the big deal about this is. So he went to some shepherds. So what? Well, God does things for purpose. There's reason to everything that God does. Everything that we read in the Bible has a very specific purpose. There's reason that it's there for us to understand. God has had a relationship with shepherds from the very beginning. You consider, look back at Genesis. The very first sacrifice that was presented to God and accepted was given by a man named Abel. That was the second son of Adam and Eve. And before his brother killed him out of jealousy, the Bible tells us Abel brought an offering of the fat of the lamb to the God the Father as an atonement for sin. It was accepted by God. That was a shepherd. You read a little bit further on and we see the story of Joseph, one of my favorite. Joseph's my guy in the Bible. If I had to pick one guy outside of Jesus, I don't want you to think I'm stupid, but after Jesus, Joseph is just great. I love Joseph. Everything about him, every way that he lived his life. And what happened with Joseph? It starts with the patriarch Abraham. And then there's his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob. And Jacob has 12 sons. And out of those 12 sons come the 12 tribes, and the nation of Israel is where that group comes from. Jacob's second to youngest son was a man by the name of Joseph. You remember the story. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. And because Joseph continued to do the things that God told him to, he maintained his integrity. He continued to worship God. He didn't get sucked and pulled into the things that were going on around him, but he said, no, that's not right, and I'm not going to do this. Remember, he stood up against Potiphar's wife when she came to try to seduce him, and he ended up in jail. But because Joseph lived the way that he should, he was elevated everywhere that he went. Do you know that God will elevate and promote you when you follow him? He will make sure that people know what it is that you've done. You say, Pastor Dave, you don't understand where I work. I work in a place where if anybody knew I even came to church tonight, I would never hear the end of this. But when we do the things that we should in order to glorify God, like Joseph, we'll be elevated. Well, you know the story. Joseph gets taken to Egypt, and he rises in position there to where he is the chancellor of all of Egypt. He's number two, only to Pharaoh himself. And a great famine comes. And the Bible tells us that Joseph's brothers and his father came and were reunited with him. And it says they gave them a plot of land. Now watch this. It says they gave them the land of Goshen in order to raise their family. Because you got to remember, his family, there's several hundred, if not thousands, of people in this family group. If the Basems were here tonight, I'd be talking to him right now. Barry and Barb have 14 children. I know. Oh, my. God bless them. 14. Wonderful kids, all of them, because they came from good stock. But when they came to their land of Goshen, the Bible tells us that it was away from Egypt, because if you read in Genesis, it says that shepherds were detestable in the eyes of the Egyptians. Egyptians didn't like the shepherds. They were on the low end of the ladder, and yet God used the shepherds, used that group in order to create his nation. Go a little bit further on now. They've been in captivity with Egypt for over 400 years. God took a shepherd from Midian and had him lead them out. Moses was tending his father-in-law's flocks when he came and he saw the bush that was burning. He's a shepherd. And then the greatest king that Israel ever had was a man that was a young son who was also a shepherd boy, a man by the name of David, wrote most of the Psalms and helped to elevate Israel to one of the greatest places among the nation of the time, another shepherd. God has had a connection with shepherds from the very beginning. Jesus is called the Great Shepherd because it is us, his flock, that he cares for. And you see that the analogy of the shepherd that will leave the rest of the flock to go after the one and to protect and to guard him. When wild animals come to the flock, the shepherd's the one that fights off the animals and kills them and protects his little lambs. That's the picture of who Jesus Christ is. And God chose these lowly men to come and to make an announcement and to say, my son is coming. And the other reason I think that he did that was because we need to understand here tonight that God is not a respecter of persons. Now, we say that very easily. We say it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what nationality. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, big house, no house. We say none of those things matter. But let's face it, in our culture today, we look at the outside. That's the first thing we look for. And God demonstrated so clearly when David was about to be anointed the king as a boy, Samuel the prophet was told by God, I want you to go and I want you to go to the house of Jesse. And it's at his house that you're going to find the next king of Israel. You remember the story? And so Samuel goes and Jesse goes, Sam, good to see you. What are you here for? They called each other Sam and Jess. I don't know if you knew that or not. They were very good friends with each other. He said, what are you here for? He said, I'm here to sacrifice to God. He said, but I want you to bring out your sons. And I want to see them because God's going to anoint one of them to be king. And so just like they would do in that day, they brought from the oldest down to the youngest. And so the first son comes out. The Bible tells us he was tall, good looking, studly guy like Joe. And Samuel said to God, he said, listen, this has got to be the guy, right? This has got to be him. He's handsome, he's big, he's tall. Look how good he looks. And God said, that's not him. And it says he went through every one of his sons and he said, don't you have any other sons? Is this all of them? And Jesse said, well, I got one more. He's the run of the litter. He's out taking care of the sheep. He's a shepherd. Sam said, go get him. Bring him in. And David came in and stood before Samuel. And Samuel didn't say anything. He just took the ointment, the oil that he had, and he poured it over the boy's head. Now, I got to believe that the impact that that had on the dad and the brothers is more than we could even imagine. Here it is, the baby boy. See, in the Israeli culture of that day, the oldest was the most important, and you went down in importance all the way down to the very last. And yet God was saying, this boy is going to be the king over my nation. And today, God is saying the same thing to us, his church. He's saying, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Because there are a lot of people in churches today that are sitting there thinking, you know, if I come here enough, maybe God will forgive me. Maybe God will love me. If I put money in the box, if I get my Bible out once in a while, if I pray, if I don't flip some guy off when I'm driving down the road and he pulls out in front of me, maybe God will forgive me. Maybe he'll love me. Can I tell you tonight that there is not one thing you can do to earn God's love? Nothing. The Bible tells us that the very best we can do is like filthy rags to God. You say, well, what chance do I have? You have none apart from one thing. And that's the fact that over 2,000 years ago, God saw fit and loved us so much that he sent his son to come to live as a man and to be crucified as the ultimate sacrifice for us. It is only because of Jesus Christ, my friends, that we have any hope of an eternity. And see, there are a lot of people that still believe very firmly that once we die here, game over. That's it. One of my favorite bumper stickers that I've ever seen says, those of people that don't believe in hell had better be right. You better be right if you're saying, look, there is no hell. I don't have to worry about that. My Bible tells me that to be absent from my body is to be present with him. And when I draw my last breath and God sees fit to take my spirit back, I'm going to be in his presence. The only way that happens is if I confess my sin and say, God, I need you. I need a relationship with your son. And because of that relationship, I want to dedicate to living my life to demonstrate that love to everybody I see. At Remnant Life Church, we talk an awful lot about how we treat one another. Now you say, well, wait a minute, isn't it pretty easy when you're in church to treat people nice? Yeah, by and large, it is pretty easy. I don't know if I'm the most lovable person all the time. I try to be. My wife's shaking her head because she loves me. But you know what? When I am outside of this place, how is it that I treat the people that I come in contact with? How do I talk to that person? I've said this so many times before. When I get to work tomorrow and that guy that's on my last nerve before I even get my first cup of coffee, how am I treating him? Am I showing him Jesus' love? Am I realizing that the very fact that God came and sent his son to save me, the fact that I don't earn this or deserve it, I'm the lowest of the low. I'm like a shepherd. I don't have any standing. I don't have any place. I have no position. All I have is the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. But can I tell you something tonight? That's all I need. That's all I need. I got to tell you, I've never been real concerned about what people have thought of me. Some of you are going, yeah, wearing that suit, I don't, I can understand that. I don't care, honestly, what people think. I mean, I want people to like me. Everybody does. But if it requires me to have to compromise who God has called me to be, I'm going to lose a friend. If it calls for me to compromise what the Word of God says, I'm going to go with the Word of God every time. Am I perfect? Not even close. But what I am committed to doing and what I have asked those of Remnant Life Church to do is to come with me on this journey to make every single day a new opportunity to demonstrate God's love, to say a kind word, to be forgiving. And you know where that starts first? Right in your own home. It's the hardest place. Because my husband, my wife, my kids, they know how I am. That's just the way I am. The Bible says that when God comes in and changes our lives, that everything about us changes. The old is gone and everything becomes new. That's because of Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you this Christmas season not to let one more moment pass to be able to demonstrate who God is in your life? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, there is no more important gift that you will ever receive than the gift of God's love for you. God did that for us. He gave us the greatest gift. Jesus Christ was the greatest gift that we could ever have, because it isn't just about December. It's not just about Christmas. It's about my eternity with him. I can also give that gift, that when something comes up, I'm going to act this way because it's going to honor God. Someone's going to accuse me of doing something I didn't do. You know what? I don't think I'm going to get in their face because I want to honor God. And when we do that, we are making a difference everywhere we go. Because that's what Jesus did. He made a difference. He changed the world. Not all by himself. You don't have to be Superman or Superwoman. But he says, you know what? If you follow me, if you look to me, I'll fill you with everything that you need. And you can go and you can be a light everywhere you go. Amen. I want to pray with you before the team comes back up. We're going to sing two more songs. We're going to sing a couple of beautiful songs. We're going to finish with Silent Night. We're going to sing that together tonight. But I just want to pray with you just for a moment. So if you would just bow your head and close your eyes for me just for a second. And I don't do this to do something weird or spooky. Not at all. All I want you to do is just be thinking about what God is saying to your heart right now. That's what I want you to do. What is God saying to me? And as you pray and as you leave this place tonight, I want you to keep some people in mind. I want you to continue to pray for Barry and for Barb. Pray for Barb. She broke her wrist. I want to pray for a young couple, a part of our church. I want to pray for Benji, because Benji's going to be going down to Philadelphia this week. He's going to be getting his green card. He's going to go through all of those things with the government. I just want to pray blessing over the two of them as they go so that everything goes smoothly. And I want you to know that if there is anything that you want prayer for, we don't have the time this evening, although we almost do this every single time. We have prayer cards back by the offering box and by the table back there. If you have anything you want prayer for, fill that out, drop it in the offering box, and we will commit to pray for you regularly. Not just me and Katarina, but our church family. Let this be a Christmas season where you demonstrate and show who God is. It's the greatest gift you can give. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Father, I thank you for each and every person here. And God, if there is one person in this room that does not know you, I pray they would not leave this place without saying, how is it that I can have Jesus Christ as a part of my life? And Father, there are so many here that would love to just pray with them for a moment. They're not joining a church. They're not becoming a part of an organization. What they're doing is they're acknowledging their need for you, and they are securing their eternity with you in heaven. Father, may we always know and understand that you give us opportunities all throughout our lives to be able to show your love, to speak a word of kindness, And I pray, God, that we will desire to do that more and more. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.